Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. It's always such a pleasure for Cynthia and I to be here with you this evening, sharing thoughts and comments and questions and just all this lovely universal love. We're always delighted to receive your emails. We're always delighted to receive your calls. Somewhere down the middle of the show, we're going to be announcing our open to call. And make a note of the number, if you will. Here we go. 1-877-876-5227. And one more time, that's 1-877-876-5227. Back to you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Ani. Hello, everyone. Welcome all over. We are, as Ani said, grateful to have the opportunity to talk about tonight's subject with much heart and wisdom and hopefully laughter intertwined, and that is the subject of fear. We have had the honor and opportunity to cover this subject in many different dimensions, levels, and consciousness. However, fear is coming back around as an issue and a subject because there's so much more to add to it. You know, at one time or another, fear in days prior to, let's say, the comfortability of a roof over your head and walls and floors and microwaves and heaters, really way back, we're talking dinosaur age, fear signaled for survival, a survival signal, a signal to protect yourself and your loved ones. It was very interesting in my research with Spirit communicating with me today regarding this show. Spirit was reminding me that survival instincts were what a lot of humanity based its ability to have its ancestral line survive long-term and in longevity, not only survive, but then thrive. And in a lot of ways, the more comfortable humanity has become or created their environment to become more comfortable, the less their instinct of fear has been about survival, and it's become more about the adrenaline that survival wants to offer to lift the car off somebody who is stuck underneath it, or to go out and have to hunt and create your own food and catch it. It's become more a mental, almost lack of physical participation, but more of a mental and emotional, I would say, breakdown. The instinct of fear is now very much involved in the interruption of lack of trust, and also completely overwhelmed by stimulation from this dimension, and looking really to other people and outside of ourselves, so that our instinct of fear that used to assist us even before language about what the next step was, the adrenaline that was released, has now almost become on many levels what really gives play and a breeding ground for illness, for paranoia, for fear is almost utilizing, because it's not being used for many to go out there and create survival, it's being used internally through the body, mentally, as there's a breakdown or overwhelming feeling of jealousy or any kind of lack or any kind of emotional turmoil, that fear underlining instead of love has created really within the body, the physical body of humanity coming from the consciousness, a breeding ground for imbalance, for disconnection, for separation. And I'm going to talk a little bit later on about how to use fear as a tool, literally, how to return to that, and what does your instinct say to you? Do you trust your instinct anymore? Do you trust more of the input going on outside of you? These are questions, if they resonate, of course, for you to ask yourself. I'm also going to talk about how to raise your vibrational frequency above fear and above any kind of illness in order to have it not affect you, but how there's a little bit of a responsibility there, that when you raise your vibrational frequency to such a high rate of speed, that then there is the sustaining it there, etc. So I send it back to Ani.
Thanks, Cynthia. You know, I don't disagree with you. You know, I don't disagree with you how fear has evolved over time. You know, as we were first created, you know, out of the potential of all that is, was, and ever will be as pure, divine, inspired beings, you know, we didn't really know fear. We just knew inspiration. We had to go out there and create something. And one of the things, you know, it's been a real, as you know, I'm a medical intuitive, so I deal with what fear does to the energetic anatomy all the time, all the illness and all the sickness that you were talking about. But, you know, I spend a lot of time thinking about the origins of it. And I totally understand what you're saying, and using it as a tool. I'd be very interested to hear what you say, what you have to say about that in a bit. For me, I'm trying to let people understand a little bit, you know, when fear started to creep in. If we came into this sort of environment out here in the physical wilderness, as it were, divine beings, you know, just purely inspired out there to create. All of you, look at a lot of our cultures, and we all have some sort of story, some sort of myth, some sort of parable about everybody's getting on really, really well, and we're all building this tower up to what we consider to be the heavens. And somewhere along the line, everybody starts to speak a different language, and everybody starts to be confused, and the populations, the people disagree with each other, and the populations spread all over the world. And it's almost as if, you know, we really get it in the beginning when we're pure and we're inspired and we're really doing our best to rediscover our, you know, to maintain our divine essence. Somewhere along the line, our life experiences, you know, like perhaps being chased by a woolly mammoth, that type of thing that really gives you that fear adrenaline rush, creeps in. And all of these responses to memory start a collective fear consciousness that makes us really, really nervous. It's also important, I think, to realize that there's a difference between anxiety and fear. In my mind, fear is a response to some sort of memory imprint, whereas anxiety is just a general caution, perhaps, for us who have lost the memory of our true essence, which is that we are, you know, divine beings and can overcome our emotions quite simply, and, you know, just by remembering the truth of our divinity. You know, and I Googled fear. You know, I wasn't surprised to listen, to understand that one of the most Google phrases starts with fear of, you know, fear of spiders, fear of this, fear of that. And that since 2005, the fear of terrorism has outstripped the fear of insects, spiders, heights, claustrophobia, all of these things that were traditionally our fears and phobias. So my job as an intuitive, I think as a medical intuitive, is to try and get back to the origins of fear and try to perhaps help people to vibrate above it in a way that's manageable for them, and to really understand that the fear can paralyze us if we don't understand where it comes from. Does that make sense, Cynthia?
It does, and I think that in the line of work that I do and seeing the hall of records that people carry, to what you were saying, a lot of people have past life influence in the fears they carry today, and or they're not fearful, and then an event causes a launch sequence within their emotional body and the memory, I agree, in their cellular body, where then they are all of a sudden dealing with a fear that paralyzes them or that affects them on any level, and they can't really trace on this physical life dimension where that comes from. And so often with the clients that I am given the honor to see and work with, I'm able to, with them and their counsel, helps them to understand that at times the fear first was created 2 lifetimes ago or 150 lifetimes ago, and that their lifetime in this lifetime is to heal that fear, and that might possibly be why what I call this plane of demonstration is demonstrating to them that this fear is so big, whether it was a fear that was self-created or created at them or created later on in life, that this dimension often is the messenger to individuals that if they are terrified of something, regardless of the time frame, that terror is also telling them on more levels than not, if they can't trace it in this life in particular, I am here in a really big way in your face because this lifetime you're supposed to heal me, transmute through me, and integrate this fear from fear, which can be translated as false energy appearing real, or that you can be freed from this fear. When I say people can use fear as tools, if you start creating a relationship with the fear that it comes up, because what we resist persists. And so when the fear comes up, if we try to resist it, either other thoughts that are holding us hostage take over, or those very fear thoughts that we're trying to resist get stronger. We end up feeding that fear. So if we're trying to transition fear into freedom, it's every time the fear comes up to look at that fear, and instead of arguing with it, trying to run from it, or trying to mentally figure it out, or emotionally struggle with it, literally see it as a tool, that right there in that moment, every time that fear comes up, it's a message to you from your higher counsel and your higher self saying to you, you have not claimed yourself yet here. You have not yet claimed yourself here. Now, I heard a beep. Do we have a caller? Hello? Hello? I hear, okay, whoever called, we need you to hang up.
What?
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, I asked you to hang up only because the sound of the show was way too loud. We couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome. Do you have a question?
Yes. I believe in angels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're around. I guess I wish I had more of a connection in understanding their participation in my life. So I was wondering if you could maybe clarify what they're doing in my life.
Okay. Let's go ahead. I'm going to touch on that briefly because today our focus and the show's subject is fear. And so I'm going to touch on your guides, etc. I invite you to go on my website and give me a call later this week, or Ani, and we can touch further on your angels because there's a lot of information there. But to just go ahead and briefly touch on your angels, you're drawn to angels because they are present. They are part of your spiritual council. You're drawn to them, too, because they hold messages for you of the very thing you're desiring to experience in your life, whether it's emotional or physical. So many angels hold in their makeup, in their blueprint, they hold the, if you will, the key and the energetic pulse for you of, let's say, emotional and physical health and well-being, financial abundance and happiness, etc. And so these angels in your council that you're drawn to, or angels in general, is very much because they hold a piece for you about yourself. So the next thing for you to do is very much look into your breathing as a way to experience their presence. Your breathing is your rhythm of life, your life force, your breath of life. And your breathing, slowing it down and really taking some quiet time and quiet space and stillness, and then allowing your breath to become the whispers of those angels, giving them a place that you can visualize they can meet you on, and you show up there visually, emotionally, and mentally, will start creating a relationship of trust for you. I feel like your angels have been in your life since you were a child. They've protected you. They're also trying to inform you that you're connected to a much higher truth than what possibly others around you have acknowledged. Do you understand?
Yes. I think I felt that, yes.
Okay. What's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle, please give me a call, Michelle. I will remember your name, and we'll go further into the subject. But thank you very much for calling. And Ani, did you want to touch on that at all?
Oh, no, I don't think so, Cynthia. Thank you. I think she could give you a call. You have that department covered.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michelle, so much for calling in. I so appreciate it. Give me a call tomorrow, and we'll go further into the details. And thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks,
good night.
Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Anyway, I think that fear is a tool that can be utilized, that when it comes up, instead of pushing it away, realizing, just to touch on the last thing to bring it around, that spirit might be saying to you, you have not claimed yourself yet in this place of fear. You have not claimed your ability to see yourself free from this fear because you've been too involved fighting it. Ani?
Yeah, you know, in the same way as I always say, you know, the ego, our false alter ego self being the sum total of all of our insecurities, shouldn't be something to be feared. You know, traditionally it's always referred to as the devil, our bad self, the fear self. You know, it's just the sum total of our insecurities, individualized and collective, and it should be used as a tool at your disposal to gauge your spiritual evolution. It's, you know, fear isn't going to come up, the ego isn't going to be threatened unless you are trying to align yourself with Source on some level. So, yeah, I agree with that part, Cynthia. Let's use it as a tool to gauge our spiritual evolution and just, you know, send it love. And say, thank you for showing me that I'm on a path.
Yep.
Yes, totally agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, actually, somebody just showed me why somebody called in regarding angels. We have a show that's on exactly at the same time, just for everyone to know, that our show is on, and it's called Angels Among Us. And we haven't had yet, of course, because we're doing this show, the supreme opportunity to hear that show. I'm sure that it's wonderful. But that is what is up right now on many people's computer screens. And so that is why that happened.
Oh, that's good to know. That's successful. Maybe
yes.
I gave out the wrong number or something. Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely not. So those who are listening, we welcome you. And but this, we're talking about fear, and this is Awakening Matters, and Angels Among Us is going on at the same time, I believe. But we welcome all your calls regardless. So thank you. So go ahead, Ani.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to move away from the ego thing for a moment. I'm always trying to move away from the ego thing, Cynthia, you know, as you know. But, you know, one of the other things that comes up with the fear for me, and I talk about this a lot, especially in this, through all generations of time and space, but so much more valid in this century, you know, it comes out of an absolute, a sense of not being absolutely equal with each other. You know, a great deal of fear is locked up, of course, in our lack of self-worth, which is something that we all need to cultivate if we're going to, you know, achieve what we need to achieve in this, in any particular incarnation at any given time. But, you know, when we start to compare ourselves to other people, whether it's another individual, family against family, tribe against tribe, football team against football team, you know, it really contributes to the sense of we have a tremendous lack of self-worth. So, you know, when we compare ourselves to somebody else, it's, are we as good as that person? Are we better than that person? It sets up this feeling of we're opposites as opposed to reflections of each other. And it really puts an imbalance in that love resonance. So it, you know, really ruins the balance and the harmony. And I find that a great deal in the work that I do and with the people that I counsel. We're always trying to have a better sales team than the other sales team. We're always trying to achieve more sales, more points, more this, more goals, more this, more that. And we have forgotten to look at each other as reflections of each other, but we seem to be in continual competition with each other. And that's the kind of energetic static that Cynthia was talking about that shuts down the body's energetic anatomy and starts to make us actually sick. And there's such a collective buzz that goes on with this because we instill it in our cultures. We instill it in our schools. We instill it in our corporate cultures. You know, we instill it in just about every culture that we have on this planet at this time that's considered a primary, second, or first world culture. And we have to stop for a moment and really think about who we are and how we see other people, not just people on another team who wear other colors, have a different political party, have different values perhaps, and just stop for a moment and understand this tremendous amount of opposition and static is what is making this planet a little imbalanced right now. So, you know, can you live your entire life without comparing yourself to somebody else? You know, probably not. But there's a difference between that judgment of comparison and that evaluation of wanting just to be better for the sake of being better. So, you know, when you compare yourself with somebody else, you know, psychologically, ideologically, physically, whatever, you know, there's that sense that you're trying to either become them or be better than them, whether it's a person or a collective. And that's a desire, you want to fulfill a desire, and you might not be able to fulfill that desire. And so that comparison, that opposition, brings about a tremendous sense of, collective and group fear, which, of course, you know, you can't heal unless you heal it one person at a time. Only transformation on a personal level can affect change on a collective consciousness level. So I very much invite everyone to take a look at how you see the opposing football team and, you know, how you look at each other. It's very important.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great information. Yeah. I agree. And with that, I would go even to say that when we are trying to become somebody else or we think someone else has what we desire, then we are actually bypassing the script of our DNA. We are actually bypassing the DNA soul contracts that we have. We have a physical body and we have a light body. And in that light body is a grid system. There is sacred geometry. There is information that comes from the first life to the present life and future opportunities. And so what you're looking at when I think in addition to what Ani's saying in agreement is when we take on other people's pain body or when we take on a feeling that we are less than, we actually not only contract but diminish our own soul contracts. With that said, you know, fear is often, we have many different names for emotions in our vocabulary, in humanity's vocabulary. But when we look at the energetics, the core energetics of who a soul is in the manifestation of form, there are really only two energetics that spiral off into a DNA language, if you will, that the body recognizes and communicates with, and that is fear or love. So at every heartbeat and at every moment, we are given the opportunity, literally, to choose fear or love in the very moment that we are having. And that doesn't matter what's going on in your moment. It means that, contemplate, if you will, that if you were to literally sit there in your moment, regardless of the scene on the stage of your life, and choose consciously in that moment, I choose love or I choose fear, or maybe I've chosen fear, I have the universal law of free will to choose love, that you might possibly be able to reshift, reintegrate, and realign with your own energies and really feel an empowerment in that moment. We've talked about how fear affects the cellular structure before, but let's really break that down again. Not unlike water crystals that are whole and complete, and based on all the different language of love and even the titles of the individuals that represented love when they were alive or still here, the water crystals remain not only beautiful and whole, but they remained gorgeous. People fell in love with these water crystals. They could feel the love in return just by the beauty that they represented in their wholeness. Same thing with the body. Fear breaks down and it becomes a disintegration of wholeness, and it also becomes a disintegration of emotional, mental, and physical clarity. If you will, if your body, if you were to consciously recognize that or contemplate that your body is like a computer program, if you will, and that the computer program is reading its language, it's reading what you put into it. And then you start having fear, not only fear outwardly, but fear outwardly has first originated inwardly, even if it's not recognized. So all of a sudden, all of this fear goes in and starts breaking down. I would tend to say like a virus in a computer, breaking down literally the wholeness of your cellular structure and two cells in your body are communicating with each other. They are recognizing their purpose of how to serve you. When fear becomes the greater language, they're not able to hear each other communicate. And if they do, they don't understand each other's language. And then, therefore, you begin a breakdown. And that is why so many people experience physical, let's say, imbalances when they are really giving life to a tremendous amount of fear. And then for people who are out there, when you start giving life to a little bit of fear, all of a sudden you start fearing everything, and it feels like everything starts falling apart in your life. Lack starts showing up everywhere. Think about it. The DNA strand is reading fear, which is lack in contraction. You start replacing love in the very moment, not waiting for it to be represented outside, like everything starts breaking down. I will reintroduce myself into love when everything's put back together, but literally start choosing the energetic of love. Start communicating to your own DNA strand inwardly that you choose love and the wholeness of your love, originating love, soul contract love, hall of records love, personally as a DNA forming. And you will start feeling in your physical being and in your life that you have clarity again and a hold on to what you want to see manifest. So fear locally becomes fear globally. And since we all, like Ani said, are a mirror of each other, then you can guarantee that if you're alive, you've had the experience that you fear something locally and you see it globally, or you see it locally and then it expands, but it all comes back around. Ani?
Absolutely. When you're stuck in fear, you step away from your role as a creator and you become one who perceives, someone who reacts, and ultimately someone who feels left out of the big picture. And I'll say this again for the 10,000th time, everyone, it's all big picture stuff. And if you feel that you're left out of the big picture, you are going to feel the need to defend yourself against some imagined threat. So fear absolutely is the absence of love. And if you cut yourself off from love, you disconnect from your point of power and you become unstable and you feed the ego, the sum total of all your insecurities, and it goes yummy. And, you know, it's a vibrational universe, so whatever you put out there, the universe thinks you're a divine being and it's going to match that vibration. So, hoorah, you become unstable, you get sick, and the ego rejoices. You know, if you, for those of you who are privileged to do the type of work that I do, you're always seeing people coming in various stages of distress. And when you look at people's chakras, a lot of them in this day and age, mainly because we're far too busy and we don't really give ourselves time to think, a lot of our chakras are in some sort of energetic lockdown mode, which is, you know, quite a painful sight to see. It disables that creativity. Now, going back to something that Cynthia was saying earlier, you know, since our energetic anatomy carries with us the sum total of all of the feelings and emotions that we've had through all generations of time and space, and we carry that with us, things that you have worked on in previous lifetimes that you may be having trouble with in this lifetime are going to have a greater resonance. So, you know, a lot of people are coming in with issues that they have perhaps thought that they hadn't scored 100% on in a previous life, and they're still working on in this lifetime. And that creates a tremendous resonance on its own between the previous lifetime experience and this one. Now, what else? Something else that we do, and that's fine. That's our own soul contract, and those are the karmic lessons that we choose to bring in with us and learn in this life. But something else that we do, because, you know, we are caring and compassionate people, we look at our family members, we look at our friends, we look at people all over the world, and we look at their pain, and we sympathize tremendously with them. And rather than, taking a moment there to surround them with love and speak to spirit and say, my brother or sister is in pain, can you send them some extra love? I hold them in love and light. What we do is somehow we take their pain as well, and we bring it into our energetic anatomy, and we hold it there. And my advice is always, unless you intend to resolve all of those issues for those people within a 24-hour period in love and remove them from your energetic anatomy and theirs, don't take it on, because you have your soul path, you have your issues. They have their issues. Now you've taken a part of their issues and magnified it by bringing into your energetic anatomy. So they have pain, you have their pain, and the pain just continues to grow. So what Cynthia was saying about take a moment to stop and resolve it in love and to choose love. And if it's you, then you speak to yourself and you choose to surround yourself with love, and your mind controls the process always, no exceptions. You program your mind to tell your body to revert to 100% optimal health template. If it's in somebody else, rather than take their pain on, pour your love into them, surround them in love, and let spirit, who is infinitely more qualified in the long run, to take care of them. Does that make sense?
Mm, beautifully put. Mm-hmm, beautifully put. I think, too, I see people who also come to me, and I see people who have never claimed the truth about themselves, and I see that as very much what you were saying, aligned with it, is that they've never claimed the truth about themselves, their gifts, their dreams, and their desires. And they come to me, and they often are not only contracted, but they're in not a shutdown mode, they are in a detached mode, they're almost surviving, but they're not participating. And they often sit in front of me, and they're not breathing either. They're just in a state of non-doing, in a state of non-feeling, non-being. And so often also, apart from sometimes comparing ourselves to our family members and the projections that we send to one another, etc., very early on in your childhood, in your infancy, in that time frame and stage, an individual gets a message from the nucleus of a family or society to not be themselves, to not know their truth and to not share their truth, that they're different, or they think internally, they'll think I'm crazy, etc. So often part of releasing yourself from fear is getting to a point where you say with yourself, it's a very intimate relationship with yourself, your willingness to even go back to that intimacy and that depth where pain or confusion or one of the same caused you to shut down and leave your feeling body and just exist in the brainwave or in the mental body, and nothing else participated because it was too painful, and everywhere that the support system around you wanted you to exist in, none of it included who you truly were. So it was too painful to try and be yourself around a consciousness that rejected you constantly. And so a lot of times individuals are ready to reclaim themselves, to rebirth into who they are, and they are elated to find that their gifts have been magnified, quite the opposite. They think because they've shut down or they never were given the opportunity to claim their own truth or have their own soul signature in their universe, that their gifts were depleted, their truths or their dreams had diminished. And it's quite the opposite. They have magnified because they have amplified while the individual has not participated in them. The soul, knowing full well who the individual is, has grown with the journey, and they reclaim that, and when it comes through, they're on a journey almost immediately to living the life of their choice. And it's not only an amazing honor, and definitely mostly an emotional one, to recognize within them that they are ready, but then to be on the path of pure joy, pure fulfillment, pure satisfaction, and fear no longer has a place in that, because they've put it themselves on hold, and fear is the big wall that held them back. And now that wall has come down and they're ready to step forth, they fall back into love with themselves, and they're ready to not only teach, heal, talk, and share, but to be part of the mirror in the world that they felt was lacking. So it's absolutely phenomenal what you are able to do as a human being, regardless, people, of your age, where you are in your life. It is magnificent that the shift from fear into self-love and into validation that what you've always dreamed of is true and real, even if those around you haven't supported it, you end up taking off as quickly as you are ready to reclaim it. And when we talk about fear locally, fear globally, let's shift that also. Love locally, love globally. I have so many clients all over the world who not only awaken to love, but then they're able to reach far across the globe and be recognized and connect with those on the other side of the world that are also waking up. So at the same time that there's a lot of fear, there is at the same time the opportunity of tremendous love. I would say at the same alignment to fear and beyond it, because fear must be fed in order to continue. Love is in and of itself a constant, ever-expanding energetic and consciousness. Ani?
Oh, you know, I was very moved by what you said earlier about, you know, allowing yourself to internalize like that and then understanding that you hadn't really shut down. And if I may, I want to talk a little bit about myself and, you know, an experience that I had in boarding school that is just perfect with this. I believe that, you know, we are the universe. Each of us is the universe localized in a single human being. We're not individuals. We are individualized expressions of the universal mind. You know, I think it was 11 years old when I went to boarding school in England. Probably one of the very few non-English people to be admitted into this boarding school, the daughter of Armenian immigrants to England from the island of Cyprus, and with full spectrum Asperger's syndrome, which is a type of autism, and full-blown clairvoyance, thank you very much. And I was admitted into this boarding school, and I was in such an environment. Was that a beep?
Yes, we do. We have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
I am. Hi. I do have a question about fear. There's just so much in the world right now, whether it's the economy or it's, you know, the new swine flu, or it seems like it's just coming in waves, one thing after another. And I'm learning how to try and isolate myself from that so that I don't get sucked into it. But every once in a while, it creeps in, you know, and I feel like I'm going along okay, and I'm able to keep myself apart from that. But sometimes it's just so overwhelming that it creeps in, and I'm wondering if you just have maybe some words of advice on how we can keep ourselves strong and keep ourselves apart from that and not let it get in, but still participate in the world.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for participating and for calling in. Raise your vibrational frequency.
Your show.
I'm sorry?
I said I just love your show every week, so I'm excited to get to call in.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things to know is that if you're a human being, which clearly you are, we all are, you're not going to be able to, nor would you want to, hold a wall where you're in that wall. And you are, I'm getting feedback, so let's see, maybe you can put the phone away from you a little bit. Okay, thank you. So if you can realize that when fear comes in to your experience, it's not because you're not doing such a good job or you're being infiltrated by it, it's that one of the ways that you can move away from reacting to fear or feeling it when it does come in is to raise your vibrational frequency. And the way to do that is literally just a statement, because when we make a statement with an intention, we basically are giving the longitude and the latitude of all of our dimensions, physical, mental, and emotional, to follow that. You are navigating your next experience, meaning the next moment. So when fear comes in, instead of trying to bypass it or struggle with it, you can have the feeling that's come with it, but then take some breaths. A breath would be like a comma in a sentence. Take some breaths and then consciously, literally give permission, permission meaning that your body is an instrument, a divine instrument that's working for you and with you, to raise your vibrational frequency to the level of the highest love of creation. Or, you know, use your own words. There's no right or wrong words, but it's the intention. What you're doing is you are literally unplugging from the fear that just knocked on the door and came in, and you are getting into your personal elevator and going to a higher floor. When you raise your vibrational frequency, you want to focus on your emotional body, your mental body, your physical body. You want to focus on raising your vibrational frequencies from all the bodies, so that all parts of you start feeling yourself rise to a higher level. And when you raise your vibrational frequency, you transmute all the fear that was introduced. So literally, in a way, the fear becomes a tool for you to raise your frequency, and after a while, you won't even have to consciously raise it. You'll just remain at that level. Ani?
I have a little mantra that I do every morning, because I actually, you know, I have to read the paper and I have to, you know, be part of the world, right? But I don't want to buy into it. So I just literally stand in front of the mirror and I say, I free myself from the opinions of others, good, bad, or ugly. I free myself from the opinions of others, good, bad, or ugly. And if I say that about 10 times, it sinks in. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a wonderful suggestion as well. So really make it your own, but do kind of find a tool that when it's a statement you make, or regardless of how you do it, that it frees you from feeling owned by that fear or consumed or held hostage by it. Do you understand?
I think so. Thank you very much.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for calling in. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So, Ani, you were giving us the experience when you were 11 years old?
I was giving us the experience when I was 11 years old. Well, you know, basically what I was trying to put into a nutshell was I was a fish out of water, a very, very different environment to go into. And I thought that perhaps from 11 years old to 18 years old, I had shut down, that I was this quiet little autistic child that just did her lessons, got excellent grades, by the way, but, you know, and played wonderful lacrosse, but didn't really interact socially very much. And I thought I was sort of like a robot, just like an automaton. But what happened is I kept running the inner dialogue. I kept talking with my counsel, who were always saying to me, free yourself from the opinions of others, free yourself from the opinions of others. And, you know, I really held on to that truth and all that Spirit taught me in my mind and in my heart. And by the time I graduated, I felt completely different. It's as if I had honed all of the skills that I now employ on a daily basis, just in that process of holding on to the truth of my being and still honoring people and, you know, trying my best to relate, et cetera, and be part of society, brackets, brackets. But just holding on to the truth of what I am, I stepped out of it. And the other side, I just want everyone to know, the other side is really wonderful. And you can still be who you need to be on that path that you have, whether your skills are considered mundane or ordinary or a little bit exciting or anything in between. It just takes the courage to run the inner dialogue, be still with it, and when you come out on the other side, you will find that you're about as functional a human being as anybody else is. And you did
it all
yourself.
Fabulous.
Yeah. You know,
that's fabulous. Thank you for sharing that.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. You know, also, people, reset your fear signal. Use it as a symbol to change your reaction or your actions, intentions, conversations with yourself, and your environment. Reset your fear signal. Decide that you're going to redefine what and how fear plays in your life, that you're no longer going to allow fear to be a certain player or role model in your life, that you're going to relate to it by not reacting to it, by taking different action with it, by setting an intention that fear can be a tool for you to recognize where you have not yet claimed yourself or freed yourself, and your conversation with yourself, that when fear comes up, think about, well, what was I just thinking or talking about to myself, scenarializing over and over and over, that fear came up. So you reset your fear signal, you will change your environment internally and externally. You will change it in a way that you feel empowered by fear, not disempowered. You feel empowered by fear in a way that it no longer controls you or owns you, but it becomes a symbol on its way out becomes a symbol of where you have not yet fully claimed your freedom within you and with yourself. It almost would be like a nightlight that comes on for you to recognize where and maybe possibly what direction you still have to go in order to claim your freedom. Or it can be used as a tool that if you reset the signal and you use it as a tool, that when it does come up in your life, your fear of somebody else's, you think, okay, does this have to do with the message that I reset my fear signal to send me right now? And you can contemplate that and go, no, this isn't about me. Okay, it's about something else. But really, your conversation with yourself will, if you contemplate for 24 hours, or an hour, I mean, however long you give it, the better. But if you really listen to, tune in, don't change it. But it has to be authentic. The only way something lasts and it grows and it speaks on behalf of itself is authenticity. If the authenticity is not there, it starts to diminish. So you have to be real with yourself in the privacy and intimacy of yourself. And that is, when you are having a conversation with yourself, tune in, not to change it, but to listen to it. Is it coming from love or fear? Is the majority of your internal dialogue based on love or fear? Is it based on what most other people think about you? Then that would be fear-based. Is it based on where you are with yourself? Then that is more loving-based. Of course, dependent upon what the issue is, but realize that you can reset your fear signal and use it as a symbol to change your life. It can be an empowerment, not something you run from. If you're afraid of a disease, an illness, etc., a consciousness out there, raise your vibrational frequency beyond the level of fear, beyond and higher up. You can visualize anything or call upon anything that to you represents a vibrational frequency of purity, of illuminated light, of freedom, and by doing so, you will not be affected physically, unless it's your karmic path and you've chosen that. You will not be affected physically at the intensity or even at all. But you must raise your vibrational frequency and sustain it there, which means you don't just raise it for a minute and then spend the next month in terror. You raise your vibrational frequency and then you keep your focus there, and then you can assist others, etc. So this has really been, I think, one of, it's been really exciting and fun and extremely joyful for me to talk with you, Ani, as always, and to share with people my perspectives and the divine group of spirit family that I'm honored to work with every day in every way. And the invitation really to everyone, anywhere and all over, that it's not humanistic love necessarily that we're talking about, but a higher love. The equation of love equals creation. So love, creation equals love, love equals creation. So we're talking about that high of a level for you to tune into. And not a humanistic love where there's struggle and karma, etc. Ani?
Yeah, you know, don't disable your creativity, people. Let's not disable our creativity, and that's really what fear does. And we're here to create. We were created to create, to go forth and create something. This planet, for example. And when we learn to, you know, revert to our default setting of the speed of unconditional love, that vibration, you know, all bets are off. We're divinely inspired. We're unlimited. We're full of untapped potential. We're in a creative mindset. And a creative mindset can deal with anxieties and fears very, very easily because it stays at a high vibration. It maintains a high vibration. It doesn't mean it doesn't get a little blip once in a while. But, you know, the immense capacity of our brains. And what is it we're told we use, like 3 to 5 to 6 something percent of our brains? You know, our brains are fantastic neural pathways. And what we imprint in there stays in there. So, you know, don't deaden the mind. You know, do what Cynthia says. Go forth and, you know, enable this fantastic creativity. Choose love all the time, every time. Choose love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this about wraps it up for tonight.
Oh, does it really? Are we done for another time, Cynthia? Oh dear. Okay. Well, my darlings, as always, we thank you so much for tuning in. You know, we love to hear from you. We love to get the emails from all over the world. It's terribly exciting to us. So let me remind you of our email address, which is brazilbrit@gmail.com. That's brazilbrit@gmail.com. And anything you need to add, Cynthia, to that?
Well, yes, please tune in to our next show. We absolutely love having your energy and your consciousness and your participation. That's going to be on May 18th. We'll surprise you with the subject matter, but we always invite you to join in and participate. And also, some announcements to make that I'll be doing a workshop in Portland, Oregon on June 13th. It's called Access Points. You can find all the information regarding that on my new website, which is Cynthia Sloan, S-L-O-N, number 9.com. And I welcome you all to tune in and to show up if you'd like. It's really going to be transformational. And Ani, do you have any new announcements to share?
Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah, everybody, my website is aniavedisian.com. And do check in from time to time, because I am now officially teaching a simplified version of my light body clearing method, and I'm also teaching how to clear land and space with an emphasis on ghost busting, which, as we all know, is one of my favorites. So look out for that. My method is called the Golden Light of Grace, aniavedisian.com. And I think
wonderful.
That all remains from... Thank you. Well, by the way, Cynthia, I did want to add, I like your website very much. And
oh, thank you.
I really like that picture of you. It's a really good picture. It shows all of your joy and your mischief and just all the unconditional love that you have. But it also has that, it also shows your wisdom, too. I like it. Good shot. Very good shot.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, everyone, this is Ani Avedisian reminding you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. As always, if it resonates, make it your own.